Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
Richard Munchkin.
Welcome. How much we missed last week because we took Thanksgiving off. We reran an earlier show. So how was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was great. Thanksgiving, traditionally for us, is always a time to play cards. So, you know, when I was a kid, it was pinochle and stuff with my grandfather. But now it was a Filipino card game called Tong Hits.
Tong Hits.
And I made $17. So I scored over Thanksgiving.
This hustler, is it Grandpa Richard or what is it?
It's Uncle. Uncle Munch is what they call me.
Uncle Munch, cleaned up. Well, for me.
How about you?
For me, Thanksgiving is a gambling day. There's double points at various casinos, and so holidays are always gambling days for us. So this is Shirley's resigned to this. There's.
I was going to say wives are usually very big on that.
It's part of, I guess, should we say contract? She allows me to gamble on holidays, and I take her square dancing, and so it somehow works out. On Christmas time, she'll go to California to be with relatives because they like to celebrate Christmas, and I like to be in the casinos. So anyway, it works out. Every family has to make its own rules. Tonight, our guest is Anthony Curtis. We're expecting him at any moment. He was just on the phone a few seconds ago. He was on the wrong street, but he will get here. So we're going to talk to Anthony Curtis. Now, December is arguably the best month of the year to play video poker in Las Vegas. Players frequently are doing holidays-related stuff rather than go to casinos. So since casinos' attendance is down, they bribe players to come in. You'll see more multiple point days, bigger drawings, and other promotions. So if you can spend time in casinos, the opportunities are out there. Out-of-towners will find cheaper accommodations here, although most of our listeners probably know how to get free rooms anyway, so cheaper than free isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
The last 2 weeks, we had the Max Rubin show 1 week live, and the next week is a repeat because we're on Thanksgiving. And one of the subjects we talked about on the show was the M Life Players Club. And we got some facts wrong. And so we had a listener call in and actually email me and say everything I said wrong about the M Life. And there are, he said, M Life has several accounts, including point play, free play, holiday gift shop, express comps, tier credits, and hidden comps. And he defined all of these in great detail. And I found it interesting. If I played at the M, or if I played at MGM, I would know these things and make it my business to know everything two ways from Tuesday. Since 10 years ago, they invited me not to come back there anymore. I don't spend time learning it. I can tell you about the Palms. I can tell you about South Point. I can tell you about M and the various places that I do play. But if you are playing at these places, you got to know this.
Yeah, I think that it's too confusing that they should call their club M Life when there's a casino called M that's not part of M Life.
Yeah, when I first was invited to come in and hear about the M Life program, I was pretty sure that somebody was trying to sell me life insurance. I thought that's what M Life was all about. I could not conceive of a slot club called M Life. It did not make any sense to me. The Palms is going to be having a new race and sports book owner. It's going to be owned by Cantor, who currently has some of the nicest casinos in Vegas, the Palazzo M Cosmopolitan, and also has the Plaza and Tropicana, so which is at the low end of Vegas casinos. So the Palms is in the middle, although closer to the nicer ones than the Plaza and the Trop. In general, I don't think it's good for players to have one company owning all the sports books.
Obviously, competition obviously gives you a better chance to have a different number.
Right. I want 6.5 at one place and 7 at the other, and depending on which way I want to make the bet, I'll go to various casinos. And if it's 7.5 everywhere, that's no good for me.
Right.
And currently, the Palms Sportsbook is run by the South Point people. And so this is going from one central sportsbook to another. So it seems like a wash. But the Cantor is known for taking bigger bets. And Cantor is known, like, for Billy Walters, who is one of the best sports bettors in the world. They'll fade his action.
And well, they're paying for the information. You know, they want to know who his picks are, you know, and they'll use that information to adjust their lines, but maybe to go out and rebet it themselves, you know, lay off. That was one of Billy's complaints to me, was that, you know, they don't want to be bookies anymore. Now they want to be bettors. You know, they want to find out his picks and go bet them themselves.
So Billy's been known to put out some red herrings in there every now and then, and to
absolutely
bet the yin when he really wants the yang, and try to throw other people off.
Yeah, Cantor also is known for this wireless gaming, I think they're calling it, which, you know, how they get away, how this is not like internet gaming. I mean, they have these devices
about the size of a BlackBerry.
Yeah, maybe a little bigger. But yeah, so they have these wireless devices where you can make bets, but you can also play games on them, blackjack and video poker.
Yes.
And now, are you allowed to take those devices up to your room?
So I understand that you can currently take it up to the room. And as long as it's in a place where the casino license is in effect. So if you take it out onto the street, you cannot use it. So it might mean that the wireless signal doesn't work that far. I'm not exactly sure how they enforce that. But
it seems kind of crazy to go all the way to Las Vegas from somewhere and then go to your hotel room and play on a little box, you know? Although for making sports bets, I guess it's really convenient.
Sometimes you know, 5 minutes before game time, if there's a line of 14 people, you may not get your bet down in time.
Right.
So on these handheld devices, apparently you can't. Speaking of Billy Walters, who's a sports bettor, he's been in the news this week.
Yeah. Billy is a guy that law enforcement really does not like. Not only do the casinos really not like him, but law enforcement really does not like him. So one of his runners, has been indicted, apparently, because when he went and made some rather large bets, the sportsbook asked him, "Are you making these bets for someone else?" And he said, "No." So now, what do you think the charge would be for this?
The first time you asked me this question, I did not come up with the correct answer.
Yeah, so they charged him with making the casino file a false CTR.
Casino transaction report, cash transaction.
A cash transaction report. They said that because the cash transaction report did not reflect the company that he worked for, Acme Group Trading, that he had caused the casino to file a false cash transaction report, and now he's indicted for this.
Well, I mean, Billy Walters usually has his runners own a small piece of the action. So officially, even though he is partly making it for himself. So
right.
They've gotten around this in the past on this.
Well, to me, it just looks like a harassment thing, you know. But one of his other guys is in the news as well. He had one of his runners who staged a carjacking to steal over $400,000 of the group's money. So now he's got 35 or 33 felony theft and burglary counts for, staging this carjacking where he stole over $400,000.
Yeah, I would think $400,000 would get people's attention. But the
Billy just seems to have no end of problems with his employees.
Yeah. Speaking of cars, there was this guy in Texas who had this Bugatti. Is that how you pronounce it?
Oh, yeah. The Bugatti Vario or something?
It's like this car that's worth $1 million. So he buys it for $1 million. He insures it for $2 million. And then he videotapes himself driving it into a swamp and makes a claim to the insurance company.
Yeah.
For some reason, the insurance company is not really eager to pay off this claim.
This is mind-boggling to me. I mean, this is not much different than, you know, taking out insurance on your wife and then, you know, throwing her overboard on the cruise ship. But why would he videotape himself driving it into the swamp? His claim was that he was swerving to avoid a pelican. But there's no pelican in the video. He just drives the car into a swamp. And now he wants to collect $2 million in insurance?
And somehow they're claiming fraud. Would you think this is an advantage gambling play or a stupid fraud?
Yeah, stupid fraud. At least he didn't kill anybody.
Except maybe a pelican.
Yeah.
There was a month or two ago, USC versus Utah. There was a football game where the score closed, that changed 2 hours after the game was over because of a ruling by the Pac-10 officials. And so whether or not bettors got paid or not kind of depended on when they submitted their ticket. So one guy apparently actually took it to gaming control, and he had instead of a losing $100 bet at the Aria, it turned into a win of $110. Actually, that the other way around. Instead of losing $110, became a win of 100. So the gaming control ruled in his favor. Apparently, they was the only one who submitted it to gaming control.
That's mind-boggling to me as well. I would think they would have hundreds of people there. Everybody with a losing ticket, I would think, would be there.
Well, they had to keep it. He had to keep the ticket.
Yeah, that's true.
So I would think the Aria for $200 just be done with it.
Yeah, to me, there's just so much bad publicity. The whole incident was so much bad publicity. I mean, if I were running the sports book, I would have just paid both sides. I mean, I know that's a lot of money. You take a big hit, but you build goodwill with your customers that way.
I'm not sure. You wouldn't have thought that USC versus Utah would have been a particularly game that was bet a lot. Anyway, our guest in the studio, Anthony Curtis, is here. He is owner and publisher of Huntington Press and best known for the monthly publication Las Vegas Advisor, which has been around for about 28 years. He's a gambling expert in a variety of games and is a frequent radio and television commentator. He published Munchkin's book and several of mine. Anthony Curtis, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Did you bet the USC-Utah game?
No, I didn't, but I was well aware of what happened there. And I believe that a couple of places, I think station casinos paid both sides. They made a big deal about it that they were paying out both sides, which I think is that's as strong as you guys just said. That's a good PR move, and it's probably the way to handle that.
Yeah.
The Las Vegas Advisor is basically geared towards low rollers, telling readers about good values in Las Vegas, sometimes gambling, sometimes food, sometimes drink shows, etc. One of the specialties is called couponomy, which is using coupons intelligently. Now, how has couponomy differed, say, today than it was 5 or more years ago?
Well, you know, a lot of things about getting an edge, an advantage in Vegas have changed. The town has changed. it tried to upscale itself so much. It's not the low rollers paradise everywhere like it used to be. So things changed. Now, the first thing about couponomy was that's actually a name that Peter Griffin came up with, the guy who wrote Theory of Blackjack, and a lot of people, Munchkin knows him, knew him, and you know has read all of his stuff. He wrote what a lot of people think is the Bible on blackjack. Mm-hmm. And he came up with the idea of naming the column that I would write couponomy. So it wasn't always, it's not always about coupons. It's really about what's going on and where's the hidden edge there and, you know, what can you do? But it has changed and that Vegas has changed. You know, one thing is Vegas has gotten a lot smarter on the technological end at all levels. You know, it's harder to game the system these days. So, you know, certainly you've got to approach it differently.
So you started, can we talk about that? When you first got to town, you started with these coupon runs where you would go from one end of the strip to the other, basically betting coupons, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, what happened was I came to Vegas to be a pro gambler. That's what I wanted to do. I thought it was the most, the most awesome thing you could possibly do. Somebody gave me a book. I read it. I understood it. I thought, wow, this is cool. And I was going to come and be James Bond, you know. Well, I'm 21 years old, and I get here, and I just get my butt kicked right off the bat. You know, I had no clue about variance. I had no clue of what can happen no matter how good you are. I was a pretty good player, but I was a good player in a vacuum. You know, I could count down a deck of cards like a whiz. I was just very fast, knew all my index numbers. But I didn't really understand what it was all about in real life. So I would say within a week, I was pretty much down to the felt, as they say. I didn't have much money left, and I had to figure something out real quick. It was either like go back home with my tail between my legs, get a real job, or figure something out. And, you know, I knew coming in what coupons were. I knew that coupons changed the game. I knew it turned it around, that literally gave the player the edge. And I said, look, you know, I've either got to be able to have more money behind me and bet more, or I've got to have a bigger edge. And I couldn't get more money at that time, so I had to go for a bigger edge, and that was with playing the coupons. And I played them diligently, but honestly and fairly, and, you know, what was allowed.
And what were you able to make a day playing coupons?
We would do that's where the whole idea, the term coupon run got born. I mean, I really think it probably came from – I probably heard it from somebody, but I probably popularized the phrase because that's what we did. And I say we because I met like souls. You know, we would go around together. It was more fun to do together. And we'd do it once or twice a day. And we were literally averaging, I would say, between $40 and $50 a run. All right, so we could make with virtually no risk because, I mean, some of the edges with the coupons are...
It's 10 for 5 or 7 for 5, something like this.
Well, in those days, there were some better ones than that. I mean, literally, your edge was in the 30% range or so. You just can't lose. I mean, you play enough of these in a week, you almost... absolutely can't lose. You plan enough in a day, you almost can't lose.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes we'd only make $5 and sometimes we'd make 155. But the average was probably about, you know, 40, 42, 43. And with not much variance, it just went up, 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 up. So, you know, we could make whatever we wanted. We'd make our own hours. And we would always make sure that the coupon run, we would end up at the place with free hot dogs at lunch and the place with nickel beers at the end of the day. You know, that sort of thing.
So the only part, now, when I did that in 93, when I was here, the only thing I did that was against the rules was it was supposed to be one coupon per person per day, and I kind of blew that one away.
Well, everyone does that now.
It was kind of one per pit.
We didn't really, to be honest with you, we played it really on the square because there were so many of them. We didn't want to burn ourselves out, and we didn't want to get burned out. We didn't want to be told not to come back. So we pretty much played by the rules. This is, you know, we might get into this today, but the coupons that we put in Las Vegas Advisor, everyone's always breaking the rules. And when I call them on it, they go, well, you did. And I go, no, I didn't. You know, I played them very much. It was a different time. I could get away with more, staying within the boundaries. But we pretty much, you know, once in a while we'd fudge it and play two instead of one in a place. But most of the time we played it, we hit it, we left, we're on to the next. Because there might have been 25 places on the run. I mean, there were only maybe 40-some places in Vegas. And, well, maybe not 25, but maybe 17 or 18 of them had a good coupon play.
So let's talk about that, about how people are breaking the rules and why that's led to less, you know, coupons available. What kind of things?
Well, not less coupons, but less cash-related coupons.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I blame it. I hate, you know, I know this is what you guys hang your hat on, but I literally hate the term advantage player. Uh-huh. I hate it. I cannot stand it because, you know, first of all, people don't know where it came from. Do you guys know who coined the term?
My first knowledge was Steve Forte.
That's correct. Steve Forte was the first guy who did it. An advantage play was supposed to incorporate all things that get the money, and that all the way from the most honest, awesome gambler, you know, whether he was a great sports handicapper or a card counter or a poker player or a video poker player or whatever, to a guy who literally, you know, strong-arm cheated. You know, I mean, stealing. The guy, the bandit who walked up to the Bellagio crap table and took the money was technically an advantage player. Now, he didn't get away with it, so it wasn't a very good play. But anybody who took the money, got the money, was an advantage player. And it was a very good, all-encompassing term. And I talked to Steve quite a bit about it and why he came up with it, and Steve always got his reasons. And it was great. But then the whole world kind of grasped onto this. Like it was such a badge of honor to be an AP, quote. And it didn't matter what they did to get this money. And they started just abusing every single situation, going, well, it's okay because I'm an advantage player. I'm like, it's not okay. You're stealing. You're breaking the rules. You're on the wrong side of advantage play.
That I hear using that term today. I mean, maybe, I don't know, just the people I know don't think of it in that terms. They don't think of cheating as part of advantage play.
I know, but they think that it gives you the right to do every single thing that's not quite right. I mean, I'll tell you, this, a bunch of people out there will be shaking their heads when they hear me say this. But I think that if you're making money in any way in gambling, that you are, it's sort of incumbent on you that you should tip a dealer here and there, or you should tip a cocktail waitress or whatever. Well, these people, you know, they get to a point where they say, I can't give up a single penny. It gets to be like a disease. It gets just ridiculous that they can't give up one percentage of their edge or fraction of a percentage. And to me, it's more of a disease than something to, you know, an honorable way to make money and play. And it's just gotten out of control. It got to the point where with LVA, we literally had to stop doing them to some degree until the casinos, we ended up on the side of the casinos saying, look, we're going to help you to try to stop some of these people who are being piggish about it.
What were they doing?
They were counterfeiting them. They were taking, you know, they were taking our coupons. They were counterfeiting them. There was a secondary market for these things. They were being sold on the street. I got called by an eye in the sky who had captured, with photography, with surveillance films, what looked like a drug deal going down. And somebody had the back of their car open, and they zoom in with this great technology, and there was a bunch of our coupons, stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks of them, that nobody could have possibly got that many. We tracked it down. They had taken it down to somewhere, either Colombia or Argentina. There was trafficking in coupons. It's just insane. And people say, why did you take it out? Why did you stop doing this? Why are you abandoning us? No, I had to do this to preserve what we were doing.
Yeah.
Preserve the integrity of what we were doing. Keep our partners, who are the casinos, who give good things to the customer and give them an edge. You know, I mean, that book has, you know, anywhere from, depending on how you play it, $45 to $245 worth of monetary value, which you buy for $37. That's a pretty good trade. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't enough. And so if I'm going to preserve that for all the other people who want it, I had to make certain moves. And that's why we kind of pulled back on the match plays. And now, as technology is getting better and people have to go to the slot club to get their stuff, they can't double dip as often because now they have to get extra coupons through however they get them and have a different ID and, you know, on and on and on. And you know how that works.
Yeah, yeah.
So there it is. That's the reason behind it.
But you were mentioning to me a month or so ago that there's a whole new a new place to go couponing in the local bar scene are now offering some great match play opportunities.
It's amazing what they're doing in the bars. And I mean, this is, again, for the low roller thing. It's not something that a Bob Dancer would necessarily do because
I have my bar that I go to.
Yeah, I know you've got your players. I understand. But I mean, some of these are, you know, some of these are extremely marginal, or some of them, you know, will essentially take you to break even. But I mean, look, I always gambled for profit. You know, I rarely gambled. I don't do much gambling for entertainment. A little bit here and there, a little bit.
You've been known to play video poker for free booths.
That's right, but that's profitable.
That's profit.
that's profit. Look, if you're going to go, you know, I happen to, my recreation is to have a few beers.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that regardless. So if I'm going to go somewhere and have a few beers and pay for them, if I can play and have an expected loss lower than what I would have paid, then I'm playing for profit, right?
Right, absolutely.
So, you know, it doesn't matter. What's your poison? You want to go to a movie? You want to go, you know, buy yourself a suit? Whatever. If you can find a way to do it through gambling that costs you less, then you're playing for profit.
Okay.
So I'm almost always playing to get an edge for profit, you know, again, through what I think are honorable and legal ways that have been agreed upon between me and the bar or the casino. But these things don't always take you, you know, like a $20 match play. Actually, that does. That always takes you over 100%. But some of the spin the wheel promotions and things like that, they're all over town. I just ran across one the other day at a place called Dean's Place over on Dean Martin Drive. I didn't even know about it. I just put it in this issue of the LVA. Wednesdays only from 7 to 9, Ford of the Royal gets a spin on the EFT wheel.
Just by Silverton? Is that where Dean's Place is?
Yep, that one right there. Now, it works out. They got lousy. You know, the best game in the joint is a 6-5 bonus poker. You know, a terrible return. That's somewhat equatable with every four of a kind spinning the wheel. So it gets you about to a 99.1 or 2% game. And for a lot of people, they're never going to play video poker that good, you know, I mean, at that good a return. So, you know, I see a lot of value in the bars and those opportunities.
Yeah.
What books or other products are coming from Huntington Press in the near future for Advantage Gamblers?
Well, you know, look, this isn't gratuitous, but I mean, you guys have done some of my best books on that. Munchkin's book, in my opinion, it profiles, what is it, eight guys?
Yeah.
You know, eight guys and girls, some of the best of all time. And by mm-hmm. reading it, you get a real idea about it. You get a real feel for it. You know, your stuff, obviously, Bob tells them how to win. But Million Dollar Video Poker did the same thing. Million Dollar Video Poker gave people the idea and the spirit of how Advantage players or winning gamblers, I prefer to say, really think. So, you know, those are some of the books that we've got that I think everybody should read. Now, what we're doing right now is we go to essentially where the money is, and that's in poker books. And, you know, the Annie Duke book is selling real well. The Elkie book is selling very, very well. But what we just came out with just last week, mm-hmm. our set of eight strategy cards for what they call the Carney games, the pit games. You know, things like Mississippi Stud and Ultimate Texas Hold'em. And they were authored by James Grosstein. All right, so, you know, you've probably mentioned Grosstein on this show, and mm-hmm. most people know who James is or have heard of him. He's as good as they get in all areas. And the big question would be, why would Grosstein author cards that give you basic strategy disadvantage of 3 to 5%? And that's because he says that the public in general, or as he calls them, what, the civilians, right?
Yeah.
The civilians are playing these games at double-digit disadvantages. So
yeah. I mean, because I play some of these games, and they play them just terribly. I mean, just terribly.
Well, it's amazing. We wrote it up we wrote it up in LVA, and the best way to show it was if you play at what the general populace is probably playing at, and you change your play, and you're betting $10 a hand with these cards, in some cases, you would get back the price of the card in as little as three hands. Isn't that amazing?
And you know, I have to say that you know, for our listeners who are Advantage gamblers or looking to get an edge, a lot of these games, if you learn to play the proper basic strategy, just by finding out the way the clubs work and how you're credited for what your average bet is considered, because some of these games you have to make two or three or four bets. So if you take into consideration what do they call your average bet, and because the edge is based on your initial single bet.
Yeah.
Right? So if you take into consideration what do they call your average bet, what do they count it as the house edge, and plus there are so many of these new games that they can't keep track of them. There are so many mistakes made by the dealers, so right. many payoff errors. You may actually be playing, a break even or with an edge just by learning basic strategy.
Yeah, and you're taking it to the next level. This is what This is what a pro does. A pro takes all of these things to the next level, where you start to figure out how the system actually works and where are the chinks in the armor and where are the loopholes and what can you take advantage of and how are you going to get through that little hole and, you know, get to nirvana, which is the positive expectation land. But first, you got to know how to play the games. You've got to play them properly and correct. And, you know, that even goes for blackjack. Everyone wants to be a card counter, right? I'm a card counter. I count cards. I watch the deck. I can count this and that. You ask them one mediocre difficulty basic strategy question and they don't know it.
Right.
You can't be a good card counter if you don't know basic strategy perfectly. And that's what these cards do. They give you the basic strategy for these for the, all of these games.
Yeah. What's come? What's new? What's on the horizon? What's next coming out?
Well, we're actually going to we've got more poker books for people who are real math heads. This is some we've got some good stuff. You know, game theory style poker books, maybe a heads up poker book. You know, we did the Annie Duke book. She wants to do a sequel. It's a good poker book. You wrote a nice review. I think you agree with me that it's fundamentally a pretty sound book. We got some stuff from Annie. We're going to publish a blackjack book for the first time in quite a while. I think since we did Rick Blaine's book, we're finally going to publish a new blackjack book. I finally saw one that I liked called The Blackjack Life. It's pretty much very, very similar to what's the one that became 21, the movie Bringing Down the House.
Bringing Down the House.
I mean, it's too similar to Bringing Down the House. That's why I almost didn't take it. But it's actually better because it's more instructional about how it really works. And,
is this somebody who played with MIT or with the Greeks? Or
he played with he was taught by Semyon Dukach, who was played in one of the later actually possibly in the group from Bringing Down the House with Semyon in that group.
Well, there was a sequel to Bringing Down the House also by Ben Mezrich, which was
Busting Vegas,
which was all right. About Semyon Dukach.
Okay, yeah, Semyon was this guy's mentor really, and so he was taught, although he didn't play with MIT. That's why it's interesting. It was basically. He wasn't a solo expert. He was like him and one or two friends. I think one friend mostly, like two guys, and how they did it. Interestingly, this book was edited by Arnold Snyder.
Really?
Yeah, because I was like, I didn't have time to edit it, and I wanted to push this book through. I thought, who do I know who really knows blackjack, who's also a really good writer? And I was like, Snyder. And Arnold's, did a book for me recently about the topless clubs here, believe it or not, called Topless Vegas.
Yes, he was on the show talking about that.
Right, exactly. And, I know what a good writer Arnold is and how much he knows. So Arnold edited it, and he really added a lot to it. So this is going to be a really good read. I'm excited to release it.
When will that be out?
First quarter of next year. I'm thinking probably like early February.
And the title is
It's what? Called The Blackjack Life. We might change it, but right now it's called The Blackjack Life. The author's name is Nathaniel Tilton. Nobody knows him, I don't think, yet, except, maybe in some inner circles.
Huh.
Prior to that, we're doing one other one that's not really a gambling book, but it might save people a lot of money. It's called I Get Paid for This, and it's not about gambling at all. It's basically about kind of the New Vegas lifestyle, sort of the hipster lifestyle. And this guy has been in all the clubs, and he knows all the tricks, and, there's a lot of insight into it.
I actually just read something about that book, and I didn't even realize it was a Huntington Press book, but it looked really interesting.
Yeah.
He took a bunch of different jobs, right?
Yeah, well, what he is, originally he wanted to call it, the subtitle he wanted to call, I Get Paid for This, Adventures in Stunt Journalism. And I was like, I don't know about that. That doesn't tell people what this is all about. So we fought over the subtitle
over
and over.
The article that I saw had a picture of George Plimpton, and it mentioned that, yes, like George Plimpton taking these jobs, doing different things.
Same idea. So the new subtitle is I Get Paid for This, Kicking Ass and Taking Notes in Vegas. All right? That's our new subtitle. And it's part of it. That's like one chapter where he takes like seven different jobs. One of them is he's a poker player. So he talks about how really hard it is to sit down and try to play poker against these guys and imagining what it would be like to do this all his life. But he also shucked oysters. He was a bathroom attendant, blah, blah, blah. But the rest of it's a lot of really interesting stuff about basically how these young kids handle the city these days and, the ins and outs of the clubs and everything else. I mean, I was kind of reading it pretty fascinated, like learning how it goes. It's an interesting book.
Yeah.
It's been
You mentioned Elke, whose book I really liked, by the way. But did you see his kickboxing match?
Oh, jeez. That was pathetic, wasn't it? That was just pathetic.
Well, Richard, you have a tape of that on your website, richardmunchkin.com.
Yeah, I made a blog post about it. And so if for those of you who haven't seen the fight, you can see it at my blog, richardmunchkin.com. I have a video of Elke and Lex Velhaus. Is that
something
how you
like
say
that.
His name?
Yeah, whoever he was, he was better than Elke.
Yeah. Well, they've both been on Poker After Dark or High Stakes Poker. If
we had a sequel to that with video poker authors, we could have it sponsored by Medicare.
You had a good, I forget your title for it. Blair Rodman wrote to me. He's the one who sent it to me. Blair Rodman, one of my authors, wrote Kill Phil. He said, maybe you should have called Elke's book Beat the Poker Player.
So with this extra publicity that Elke got for getting his butt kicked, is that helping sell the book?
I don't think so. I don't think anybody wants to be like Elke when they see that.
Actually, I thought the first round he did pretty well.
Did he do anything? He kind of walked around, and they're playing patsy for a while. I don't know. I mean, I come a little bit from the combatives world. I mean, I know a little bit about fighting. That didn't look like much of a fight on either side, but didn't end well for Elke.
No.
Now, internet poker in Nevada, you're in touch with a lot of things. What is your prediction about if it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, who's going to do it, what?
Well, I haven't done it yet. I probably will sometime in the new year. I was going to write a piece called I'll Take the Under. And essentially, I was talking to some friends about, you know, some guys that are pretty in touch and some poker players and all that. When's it going to happen? And the consensus among these guys was 3 years. I was like,
wow.
Are you kidding? 3 years. I'll take the under. I'll take under two. You know, I think it's, you know, it's a fait accompli almost at this point.
Well,
you know,
I read that John Kyle is now supporting it. I mean, this is the author of the Kyle Bill. He was the face of making, you know, all gambling on the internet illegal, and now he's even supporting it.
Yeah, but he's from Arizona. Would that have anything to do with Nevada?
He's talking about on a national level. You need the national level to say yes, legislation that says it's okay. It's okay to do in the United States. Now, what the states do, that will be decided. You know, does it have to go through federal oversight? Does it go through each state, makes its rules? You know, and that's yet to be determined, and that's where things are going to be hung up for a while, I think. But, you know, you talk about Kyle. I think it's a matter of staring inevitability in the face. You know, you get to a point. And you just go, I can't fight this.
Well,
you know,
he's also taking so much money from the Indian casinos in Arizona that,
it's too big. And everyone was afraid to give it a try. And you had a situation like you have in the world when it comes to finances and all, like things we've seen throughout history, where you have the wildcatters come in. And, you know, the guys that speculate and take chances and they were the guys who came in, the Full Tilts and the Poker Stars and all of them. They were handsomely paid, and some of them are in trouble now, and some of them handled it better than others and whatever. But they made money. And finally the government looked at it and said, wow, you were right, and take your money and get out of here. And, you know, this was Black Friday. It was a purging. It was getting rid of all of the wildcatters to open the doors for either the government or the bricks and mortars or the Indians or whoever gets those licenses to take it over.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's going to make it take more time is that the politicians have realized that by stalling it, they can hold more and more fundraisers. And there's a lot of money behind this push to legalize it. And the politicians have realized that, if we go a little slower, we're going to collect a lot more money. But I expect it to happen after the elections, not before.
I'm not sure. If I had to pick over or under that, it'd be a tough call. It'd probably be a no bet for me. But if I was going to pick between now and 2 years, it's definitely going to happen within 2 years. And then I think it's going to be floodgates open, man. It's going to be a very, very interesting scene. And I'm spending quite a bit of time and money actually positioning LasVegasAdvisor.com to be a part of this in some way. You know, we laid off on the advice of our attorneys and things, and lost out on a lot of money in the go-go years by, you know, bringing customers and that. So maybe now, maybe we made the right move in the long run. We'll see.
Do you have some affiliation with the Epic Poker League, or are they just advertisers?
Well, the biggest affiliation I have with Epic is that Annie is their commissioner, and I'm Annie's publisher. So, you know, the Annie Duke connection is really the main thing. Epic's trying to do everything the right way. Annie has to do everything right. She has to stay squeaky clean. You know, she's got connections to Ultimate Bet, her brother, you know, Howard Lederer, Full Tilt, and, you know, some things Annie's accused of that she had nothing to do with, but still she's, you know, guilt by association type thing. So Annie has to be very, very squeaky clean. So that's a good one for us to be involved with. Annie's involved. Epic is trying to do everything right. Whether or not that will really work and catch on, I don't know. But we are working with them closely in that regard. I don't have any sort of a financial stake in them whatsoever, other than we do have an advertising arrangement with them.
Hmm. We're going to need to let you go. We have a few more commercials and things we have to take care of. If somebody wants Las Vegas Advisors or get a hold of Huntington Press, how should they do that?
LasVegasAdvisor.com, easiest thing in the world. We don't have to do phone numbers anymore or anything. Just go to LasVegasAdvisor.com. You'll probably see things there that will interest you, whether it's best shrimp cocktail or you want some gambling information.
Hopefully my column catches your eyes.
That's right. We got Bob Dancer every Tuesday, new column, and every one of them is good. I don't know how you do it.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So you're welcome to stick around. We're going to have a snack afterwards, and you're welcome to join us if you can.
Thanks, guys.
The South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games, returning more than 99%. That's more than anybody else. From now until Christmas Eve, many outlets at South Point are 50% off when you use your slot club points, including bars, restaurants, hotel, gift shop, liquor store, bingo, other things, and all New Year's Eve events. This is an every year promotion, so wise players store up their points all year long to spend them at this time. There's gourmet restaurant Michael's. It's expensive, but it's one of the best meals in town. If you get it for half price, it's a bargain. Double points in December will be happening Christmas Day, midnight to midnight. Save me a seat on the Quick Quads machine, please. Early December in Vegas is National Finals Rodeo time in Vegas, and the NFR itself is held at the Thomas Mack. But there's room for 1,200 horses at the South Point Equestrian Center, so you'll see lots of cowboy hats are hanging around the South Point. December 5th through 10th at the South Point, they have the World Series of Team Roping. This is free to the public, and it's a big deal. The NFR itself gives away $6 million in prizes, but the World Series of Team Roping gives away $4.7 million, so it's almost as big. It's free. It's not the same as the NFR, but it's related to cowboys and stuff. So if you have any desire to see some of this, the price is right. The Palms. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the Palms has play, earn, and win. Except in December, it's going to be Sundays. This theme is wrap it up, so it's gift wrapping stuff. From mid-November through December 23rd, they're giving you additional gift cards. This does require $2,500 coin in to get a $1 gift card. That's 0.04, which is piddly, and you're not going to be making decisions to play there for a lousy 0.04%, except there's other promotions happening at the same time, and you stack it on, and it's just a little bit extra, which is good. Mondays through Fridays through December 16th, you get extra cash back for your play there. It's earned at a 0.33%. It's done on a day basis. It's a specific card you get. You can get up to $280, which requires $84,000 in play. You keep your points. And so now normal slot club points give you 0.25 in free play. So this is more than 2x points. And it's Monday through Friday for 2 weeks now. The M Casino. Several days during December, they're having Avalanche Rewards, which is they're giving away $25,000 each of these Avalanche Reward days. The key part of it is these are for slot players only, although those words are in real small letters. So it is easy to get mixed up. If you are a slot player, this is a good deal. Video poker players, they have other promotions for you. Every Fridays, they have the hot seat rewards. Every 2 hours, they give away multi-thousands of dollars to, I think it's 25 people at a time. Playing $250 worth makes you eligible for the whole day. You need to have your card in while it's going on. So this is a low roller event, but if you're going to play, it's a good thing to do it. So Wednesdays, they give away $5,000 based on a drawing. They also have half price at Marinelli's on Wednesdays, and seniors have a free slot tournament. Many players at the M receive incentive packages. Incentives are based on your average amount of play. If you play more than that, you'll get a specific bonus in free play, and these incentives average between 0.3 to 0.4%, which sort of makes a double point day into a triple point day. Or a triple point day into a four point day, so long as you fulfill the required amount of play. If you aren't getting these currently, then it's probably because you're not playing enough. But if you do play more, you will probably get them. One of the nice couponomy kind of things at the M is you play a modest amount and you get a free buffet. You get up to 3 buffets a day. And the M buffet is one of the better ones in town, and the price is right. All right, Richard. Next week, we're having Robert Loeb on the show. Who is he?
Bob Loeb is the attorney from Chicago. He is the co-author of Gambling and Blackjack and the Law with I. Nelson Rose. And he's of particular interest to us because we've been talking for many weeks about this case in Michigan at the Four Winds Casino where the players had their money stolen or confiscated. They sued in tribal court because that was their only option, and the tribal court said no and decided that they were cheating.
They were peeing at hole cards.
They were seeing the dealer's hole card, yes, which is something that has been tested in Nevada numerous times. Nevada Supreme Court said this is legal to do. It's legal to see the dealer's hole card. It's legal to signal that information to another player at the table. But this tribal court said no, it was cheating and kept their money. So we'll be talking to Bob Loeb next week about that.
Uh-huh. All right. And in 2 weeks, we're having Casey.
Casey, yes. And this should be a really interesting show for people. We had Stanford Wong on a few weeks ago talking about dice control.
Yes.
And Casey is a guy who was a professional blackjack player, very successful, who then went into craps and won $1.5 million at craps and then
using
lost
dice control.
Using what he thought was dice control and then lost the entire $1.5 million back. And has concluded at the end of all this that he never had an edge, that he was deluding himself. And this is not some random gambler. This is not somebody like Archie Karras or something. This is a sharp guy who was a professional blackjack player, made hundreds of thousands of dollars as a professional blackjack player. And, you know, once he got barred everywhere, he was still getting sent coupons in the mail, but he couldn't use them for blackjack. So he went and started playing craps. So we will be talking about that. He also has some very interesting experiences. He was very successful playing internet casinos back before the whole Unlawful Internet Gaming Act. So maybe we'll talk about some of that as well.
Very good. So, Richard, what did we learn tonight when we're talking to Anthony?
Well, let's see. We learned there are a lot of nasty people out there. I mean, who knew that coupons was such a big business that it could be worthwhile to go have them counterfeited in foreign countries and have trunkfuls of them? I mean, that's pretty amazing when you think about it.
Yes, and now you might get a double point coupon, but it's once per person per year. And
yeah.
You have to go
Although,
to the booth to do it.
It sounds like there are some good match plays if you go out to the local bars. You just have to scour the newspapers for some of those.
They're not always in the newspapers. Sometimes you have to just go into the bars and check it out.
Ah.
And I won't tell you what. I have column. There's a great play. It's 102% edge.
Wow.
102% game. A quarter game. Does have a variance 145, which is pretty big for video poker. So I won't tell you where it is. The columns are written about it, and as soon as the game goes away, I'll tell you all about it.
But people can look for clues in your columns? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I just gave them all the clues I'm going to as long as it's going to exist. I don't know how long it's going to exist. And maybe Anthony already knows where it is.
He goes to a lot of bars, so.
Yeah, but I live in a different part of town than he does, so. So we shall see. So it is out there. One of the last shows we did, the last class I had at the South Point, we'll be starting again in January. The exact date for classes hasn't been determined yet, but they will be happening at the South Point. There, I've always, whenever somebody in class tells me that they hit a royal flush, I always ask for the 10%. To the teacher, And I always tell people that the next person who pays that to me will be the first person. So as I mentioned in an earlier show, one guy hit a royal of $400, and he promised he would show up at the next class and pay me about $40. And I said, oh, you don't have to do it. It's just blah, blah, blah. So he came late to the class, left early. And so I'm still a virgin insofar as not receiving any of this. So I announced this on the air a month or so ago. So since then, he has gotten back to me and said that the reason he was late is they were at the ATM machine getting the $40 to pay me. And the reason they left early is because I made such a big deal that I had to get on a plane right after class, and if I was late, Shirley's going to kill all of us. So they didn't want to interfere. They didn't want to make Shirley mad. But they promised to be back to my classes in January and pay up. And they even were going to give me a $10.99 to go with the $400 or $40.
There, you would deserve it if you actually take the money from the guy.
when they force it in your hand, I don't know what I'm going to do about it. But at the moment, my virginity is still intact on that, insofar as that goes. So I don't know how that's going to work out, but I will keep you posted.
Uh-huh. Anything else? What do we have? A couple of minutes left?
We have a couple minutes left. Let's just, since Anthony hasn't left the room yet, the people.
Do you want me to give him your play?
I do not.
It's quarters, right? I mean,
it is a quarter play that is sufficiently interesting for me, like $70 an hour, something like this.
That's your guilty pleasure, man.
So, you know. No, it's
$70 an hour plumber's wages, guilty pleasure. Right. You know? There you go.
Now let me ask you this though: because I don't know if you know this, but Bob has a standing rule not to pay for any food in Las Vegas. So when you go to this place, do you order any food?
They have food available. They have food available.
Do they comp you?
Oh, sure.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sure. Now, Anthony, people are reading or buying books less now than they did years ago, partly because of the internet and then the various other things and Kindle and stuff like this. So how is Huntington Press evolving with the times to make up for these kind of things?
Well, what's going on, where everybody's going, is to all the e-readers. And we saw this trend. We got on it real fast, and we made everybody's e-books except Richard's for some reason. But that's being remedied as we speak, probably next week. And you can announce it here that you'll be available on Kindle and the Nook and everything else. But I just didn't think that they were going to buy the devices, and they did. So luckily we're positioned right, and we're watching those numbers go up, up, up.
I just read this week that e-books for the first time have now started to outsell paper books nationally.
They're not quite doing it with ours yet, and I would think they would, because gambling information, you just want the information. You don't necessarily need to hold a book, and it's so easy to find it. It's like the perfect index. You know, it's just great to be on a reader.
Oh, yeah.
So I expect really great things for gambling books and e-books, and so far so good with us.
Yeah. Every person who's bought James Grosjean's book has begged him to make a digital copy, because traveling with that book through airports weighs like 5 pounds or something. It's ridiculous.
That one will give you away, too. A little bit.
Well, yeah, but you can fit. So we got 10 seconds left. Hope everybody has lots of royal flushes. We'll see you out there in Vegas. Talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.